PPI Radio Awards 2012. Category F3, Full Service Station of the Year, RTE Radio 1.
And I would get up down the middle of the night to feed him and the whole lot.
Right, okay.
Every year I have pet lambs.
Now, what's his name?
His name is Chops.
Oh, jeez, there's something very inevitable about that.
My daughters at home laugh every year because I go out to the back door after a while when it gets a bit bigger. And
he's all right there now. I'm just looking at him. He's grand. He's running around here.
I think he's after doing something, though.
Oh, crikey. Kenny, you'll have to clean that up when he comes in here on Monday morning.
I stand at the back door and I shout, Chops.
Candles, is it, Enda? Well, Sinn Féin mightn't be giving Enda any gifts, but based on the evidence that we have carefully gathered, we think what the Slim Controller from Castlebar really wanted for his birthday yesterday was a choo-choo.
And I'd like
a train.
Ooh, ooh.
Train leaves on the 1st of January. We want to be on that. When we get on the European train on the 1st of January 2013, on the 1st of January next year, the train for Europe's future leaves the station.
Alan Brogan with the first pass in. Here's Kevin McManaman. Dublin need a goal. McManaman, goal! Goal for Dublin from Kevin McManaman! They're back in this game, just a point between them. This kick to win the All-Ireland. He's one from two, and Stephen Cluxton runs up, kicks the ball. Cluxton, what do they tell you on the hill? They tell you it's over. Stephen Cluxton has got it, and Dublin leads by a point. It's all over, and Dublin have ended their 16-year famine.
Then he's walking past. There was a girl there collecting the tin.
Yeah.
And Ben takes out this wad of notes, like this proper.
This girl who's like clearly been out all day, you know, getting, you know, 2 euros, 1 euros, fivers, and she shoves the tin in front of Ben, whereas Ben kind of semi waves at the crowd who were taking some interest in this reunion, this dramatic reunion between your man and Ben Dunn. And he takes out this brick of cash.
Yeah. It's a roll of huge notes. Peels off in his largesse. It peels off, raising his hand above his head. A 500 euro note.
Two 500 euro
notes. Wait, this is it. Peel off the first note, right?
Yeah.
Put it into the thing, received a round of applause. So he peeled off a second note. And fasted it. And
then 500?
500 euros a piece.
I've never seen a 500.
No, we basically, we recognised a note that none of us had seen. So by process of elimination, had to be the 500 euro note. Put 1,000 euro into the tin. Right, thank you very much. Got back into the car, everyone applauding, and then drove off waving.
And then, and the wisest man in our group took the girl with the collecting tin aside and said, "Go straight home now with that."
Show that in 2007 he received 215 print cartridges worth almost €26,000. The following year he got 219 cartridges. They were valued at €24,700. In 2009 there was a clampdown on the number of print toner kits a TD could take. The Sinn Féin deputy still managed to use more than anybody else. Angus O'Snoddy is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
What were you doing with all that ink?
Quite a lot of printing, obviously, and it was used for constituency purposes, leaflets locally to inform people of change.
Hello and good morning. You couldn't make it up, could you? Yes, Sinn Féin has been setting out its new policy position this morning. It will proceed with a ballot box in one hand and an ink cartridge in the other.
Sort out as well as the Moriarty Tribunal. But your party did a deal with Michael Lowry, the same man that you want Phil Hogan to treat as a pariah. You did a deal with him.
Well, we want Phil Hogan to take a stance now that the Moriarty Tribunal report has
Hang on a second. This is kettle and pot, and which is the blacker?
Well,
your party did a deal with a man that you think is some sort of political pariah.
In fairness, Pat, that deal was done in 1997.
I beg your pardon. There was a deal done to try and keep Brian Cowan in power.
In
2007.
Sorry, 2007.
Come on, no, 2007.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say 2007, sorry, the first time. I appreciate that, but that was before Justice Moriarty
just
made
the point. Because obviously you want to accommodate them. I have been known to give two bar stools with a napkin on top, and the lady or the gentleman would change the child's nappy
Within, in the restaurant?
Well, yeah.
In the restaurant?
Well, within sort of...
in view of the diners?
Within the areas of where we
you
can.
You have not.
No one ever said that.
You did. You just said you did. You've done that.
Well, no, well, occasionally you might get it.
No, I'm telling you, that's bang out of order. I'm sorry.
The thing is...
Fair enough.
But what I want to rant about is how do ladies use so much toilet paper?
Right. Because I can answer that one.
Okay, go on.
Okay, well, presumably that's what Deborah's saying. Anyway, Sinead is next. Hello, Sinead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Is that Sinead O'Connor?
It is.
How are you, Sinead? So what's your view on this?
Well, two things I call for. One was you were wondering about places that are child-friendly as such.
You come here with a prepared speech and you didn't listen to one word any of us you said. You actually said to us, the insult, parents pull resources. Again, where are we supposed to get the money for to send our children to school? Go back to the Dáil and debate this. Argue what the points we have.
Is there any point, given what you just said there, what we heard you saying at that meeting, is there any point in anybody talking to you or to anyone in government about any aspect of this cut, or is it set in stone?
Well, the cuts to be implemented this September coming are set in stone. They were part of... They were arise from recommendations made in the Value for Money review.
Headmaster Enda Kenny called his cabinet pupils to his office this week for their report cards. Somebody was going to get the dunce's cap, and I wouldn't rule out the headmaster himself.
Noonan!
Hiya!
Hello, sir.
Good man. Well,
how did I do?
Let's have a look at your report card here. All I can say is good man, Michael. You've been taking all the flack away from me because of your masters in bullshitting. So 9 out of 10, Michael. Lovely. Here's your prize.
A book.
Yep.
The Godfather.
Yes, Merkel suggested Mein Kampf, but I wanted to be a bit more subtle.
Aye.
Send Hogan in, will you?
Right away.
Sir.
Come in, Hogan. Tuck in that shirt, will you?
Right.
Stand up straight.
Oh, sorry, sir, sorry.
So how do you think you did, Hogan?
Well, I think I did very well.
Do you? Well, whatever happened to our €50 septic tank charge, eh?
Well, there was a bit of uproar.
Oh, uproar, was there?
Yeah.
And I suppose the household tax will be a tenner by the end of next week, will it?
Well,
You're only getting 4 out of 10, Hogan.
Huh?
Must do better. Here's your book.
Not a penny more, not a penny less. Oh, thanks, sir.
Just send in Riley.
Right. James, you.
Hello, sir.
Riley.
The crowd erupted as Rory eventually took the 18th hole. His win was a very special moment for supporters of the club.
He's the best player I've ever seen playing golf in my life. Brilliant. It shows all these young people what he can achieve. Unbelievable. I hope he goes on to be the world number one.
You know, I think it's absolutely fantastic from a little small club like this to have someone like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome our first guests on our programme today? I'm delighted to say, for their very first time performing with an orchestra, a band who've been together for almost 30 years now, and here they are, suddenly from a 5-piece to a 55-piece. Ladies and gentlemen, with the RTE Concert Orchestra, the Fingless Rockers, it's Aslan!
In that place.
How did you meet him?
I used to be a kid kicking about a football, kind of a vulnerable child, but thinking I was smart in the head, but I wasn't. And it just got, you feed your drink, and then watching pornos, and you're not knowing what's going on really yourself, like, and you don't see him grooming you until it's too late. That's the sick part of it.
And would that have been the same then with the other boys, that they didn't really have any idea what he was at?
It would have been the exact same with anybody's probably happened. You don't see it coming until it happens. And then you question yourself for years and years onwards, why did I let this happen to me? You become ashamed of yourself, everything you're capable of. I was actually paranoid. This is why I didn't come forward, in case people thought I was gay or something. Paranoia drove me insane. I had to watch how I walked, how I talked.
Because, you know, we've all heard about the reports. We've heard about Cloyne and Murphy. We've heard the stories out there. But this really gives you just a real sense of what it must have been like, and the desperate oppression and the desperate fear and the kind of corrosive sense of oneself. And I thought what was really powerful in the play in Laundry was the names, the way the names were repeated of the women, so that you began to think of the people, that this thing that we know is part of our social history, you began to think about the individuals, you know, the Marys, the Mollies, that had been affected by this, that were actually in there.
That issue of naming and remembering and memorial is one we'll return to, you know, the appropriate...
Thanks, Miriam. I'm delighted to have you here, actually. Let's go back. Where did you both meet? Can you remember?
Nell, you remember better than I do.
I do. We met in 1971. So Mary Anderson decided that she would make this personal. And she at the time was very upset because her parents weren't married. I was too young and foolish to care. But we're sitting there. There's me, Mary Anderson, me and Margaret McCurtain. And the room was full of students. And Mary Anderson stood up and said, "I am a bastard," and sat down. And I stood up and said, "I am a lesbian," and sat down. And Margaret stood up and said, "I am a nun." And with that, the bastard, the lesbian and the nun sat down, and the students exploded in excitement and joy and curiosity.
Yeah, just a fantastic night.
This was no ordinary meeting. This was all taboos gone.
They just told, set it up.
Charlton with the try. Leinster are the champions. Charlton with the final act. And a really, really classy score from a classy team. What a way to finish the game.
Well, unbelievable again from Leinster.
We know where we were.
Michael, in fairness, doesn't it beggar belief that this could actually have been anybody else other than somebody connected with your good self? I mean, it's hardly likely that every single person in Leinster House rang this line several times over. You know, there's no way you could get to this number otherwise.
Well, the first thing that I'd say in response to that is I do not know, only that when the programme was over, we were told that hundreds of thousands of euros were spent by people.
My name's Conor McGinnity. I'm 21 and I'm a student. That's my mum. She's playing the piano.
I play the piano when all is well in my world. And I suppose because I don't play it very often, it's because life can be so turbulent and so difficult. I might only play the piano a couple of times a year.
This is a personal story about our family.
I live with depression. I've lived with depression for over 24 years, all of my married life. But I don't suffer from depression. My husband does.
My dad's name is Peter. He's a teacher.
And I saw him standing on the top of one of the hills. And the dog was pulling him from the back of his leg. Well, both of them were, really. And they were trying to make him fall, you know? So they were pulling him in the back. And he just looked at me and he said, "Help." And I just really didn't know what to do. Like, I was just so confused in this. I don't know.
Canvassing, Enda Kenny came down to our town and my sister asked him a question in relation to disability. And he turned around and said to my sister, who's 14 years of age, that he would not touch any disability payments in the budget.
Okay, we actually have that encounter. It's on YouTube between the now Taoiseach and Joanne.
Okay, and for people with disabilities, what are you doing to help them? Because sometimes, obviously, I'm one of the lucky ones, because Mill Street is very accessible here. They've put in a good few ramps, and they've rammed the library and so on. But, like, other towns, other rural areas that people are in wheelchairs and can't get around, How are you going to help them?
Before the Christmas, in our budget presentation, we were not taking any money off people with a disability. We want that protected.
Yes, okay.
Is that okay, Joanne?
Yeah.
Now, that's as clear as day. We're not taking any money off people with disabilities, and yet that was one of the things which only was...
Ah, yes, it was all going so well for Gabo. A poll of listeners had established he would be a very fine candidate for the Oris. The weekend, one long series of eulogies from every conceivable quarter. And then...
The broadcaster Gay Byrne has said the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has pledged that his party would support him should he decide to run for the presidency.
Fianna Fáil's support came in the shape of a call from the party leader. Martin calls Byrne to offer FF support is the headline there.
It was just horrible. Just look around and see 600 disappointed faces. Disappointed and rightly angry faces around in the crowd around. It's hard to take, hard pill to swallow.
No, it is. It's just a disgrace. I hope those people can't sleep at night. They go on about these values that they have for looking after people, looking after their staff, looking after their customers. But, you know, they don't live by those ideals. They don't live up to them. And we've been severely let down.
Many of the workers gathered in Jeff's Bar in Waterford City, where they weren't the only ones contemplating the future.
The four of us there and Mary, actor Chris O'Dowd's fourth musical choice. Great to have Chris in the studio with us this morning, picking some of his favourite songs growing up. Well, Chris, we talked about the IT crowd and we talked about Moonboy, which you're currently making, and it's fantastic. You've been given a nod for a rising star for a BAFTA and also an IFTA. And Hollywood came calling over the last couple of years. And I suppose the question on everyone's lips is, what's the catering like?
Oh, I mean, it's I'm not going to... I don't want to make people... It's amazing. I mean, it's succulent, you know, but obviously at the same time, because of the people, it's healthy, you know. I just don't know how they get so much flavour.
Casement, rouse yourself.
Captain Monteith.
We're off the coast of Kerry. As soon as you're set, they'll up periscope and surface. They'll break out the dinghy and we can row ourselves ashore.
Kerry.
Once we're on the open water, Bailey will signal to Commandant Stack and his men. They'll be waiting for us on the strand. Time for action.
Action? Yes. I must gather up my things.
Okay, boys, it's the election day. You all have your polling cards already, so I'm going to call you up group by group to the polling station to make your vote.
And vote to elect someone for one of the most important jobs in the country.
They are the head of the Irish state. They are the guardians of the people's rights. They represent Ireland abroad and they visit communities around Ireland and they go to very important matches.
The boys from Tiptown may be well below the age limit, but they're having their say in their own way.
Now I'm giving in my polling card and I'm getting my ballot paper.
Eamon, who did you vote for?
Sean Gallagher.
Why did you vote for Sean Gallagher?
Because he was with agriculture and my father's a farmer and he bring up the milk prices.
I voted for Dana Rosemary Scallon because she's from the All-Ireland Talent Show and she represented Ireland.
Evan, who did you vote for?
I voted for Mary Davis.
Why?
Because she can help the disabled.
It's been a nail-biting finish here in Tipperary Town, but after six counts, who's going to be the next President of Ireland?
Sean Gallagher!
So we'll see how these results match up to the real thing.
Good evening. The result of the second count in the presidential election is expected to be announced within the next hour, with the final result now likely in the early hours of the morning. The other candidates have congratulated Michael D. Higgins, who topped the poll and will be elected Ireland's ninth president.
When the declaration is made, I will not be a member of any political party. I will be a president for all of the people. And all of the people, whether they voted for me or not, and all of the people, whether they're young or old, and particularly for our Irish abroad, which is my habit to visit. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it will be exciting.
A key moment.
Would you like to be a contestant in the next election in 7 years' time?
Well, I think all of that would depend on my health at that stage. I took leave from my job effectively as joint First Minister of the North to contest this election. I'm really glad I did. I'm really happy with the outcome of it. And I think that I'll go back to that work. It will all depend on my state of health at that stage. By that stage, I'll be 68 years of age.
But you're not ruling it out. I mean, you still be younger than Michael.
Ladies and gentlemen, finalist number 10 is...
Oh! And we can breathe a sigh of relief.
The boys are running on stage, jumping and skipping down, shining, doing cartwheels across the stage. Oh, that is so good.
Of course.
Oh,
what else?
Oh,
fantastic.
Go,
so
boys.
They received a golden ticket and they're the last finalists.
How apt for the two boys to get the golden ticket, the Willy Wonka ticket.
How many cartwheels can they do?
I don't know. Gosh. They're cartwheeling again, right down. They're jumping and screaming. The crowd are going wild in the arena. They're looking into the camera.
Well, Damien, you wouldn't be in that league because of this blonde hair and blue eyes. You know what I mean? You'd be well spoken for by now.
Okay, thanks.
But as late as yesterday even, a fella rang me up, a local man from Trim. He's a cattle dealer.
Right.
And the Trim
shy,
County Meath.
Bit shy,
but not around the ring. If he's buying an animal, he's not shy. But and he'd look at the animal front and behind and everything else. But yesterday even, he took the plunge of ringing me up and... looking for a girl. He's getting a bit lonely. February can be a lonely time, you know what I mean?
36.
He might be getting a bit of age about him as well, is he?
He's 36.
He's 36 years of age. He's a farmer, a cattle dealer, sheep dealer, the whole lot.
Has a car and a lorry.
Yeah,
you're kind of narrowing it down now, so anyway.
But he doesn't mind him saying he's looking for any kind of a girl.
Right.
She shouldn't have to be a farm and shouldn't have to have any farm connections.
See, Damien, sorry, you take a fellow of 36, right, this guy. Where does he go to meet a girl? Does he go to the disco? Because the disco is full of, we'll say, 20-year-olds, so too young. So they have to come to Gus and Tom here.
Yes, yes. You know? So I just want to know, what is the... So he's gone to you, so what are you doing now?
Now, Gus, we know what he's like, saying we'd interview him, myself and Tom, and talk to him, right? And then we'll match like with like. We have other girls we speak to, say...
Do you have a list?
I wouldn't say a list. We have them in our head. You know, we keep all in our head, really, because we don't write anything down, really.
Right, okay.
So
we would
would match like with like. Wouldn't match a big, tall fellow.
We're a little bit younger now.
Maybe.
You wouldn't match a tall fellow with what?
With a small one, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't put a big...
skinny fellow with a fat one.
You wouldn't put a big cart on a small horse, you know what I mean? So...
Coming up after Green Tea, join me, Charlie Bird, in studio with Joan Burton, a Guinness World Record attempt for the noisiest broadcast in history. As Minister for Social Affairs, we'll be discussing all the savage cuts, the forgotten sufferers, and the appalling treatment of people who deserve better. And once we finish talking about our RTE wages, we might even touch on the rest of the population, like job losses and the lonely despair of emigration to horrific places like Washington for 6 months or so. Join me, Charlie Bird, with Joan Burton at the Labour Party conference in Galway.
Slash them all! Axe the scroungers! Mince the freeloaders!
Oh, we could have got so much more expenses if this was in Cork, you know. Oh, when will I get a break?
Let's give this a go. Surfing on the radio. Just swimming my way out through the breakers here. It's a stunner of a night. Late summer. And lines of swell just pouring in here. Nice show in North Donegal. Oh, big one coming there. Just swim around this one. What?
When I was 7, I was diagnosed with a rare children's cancer. And since then I have been like going up and down for chemotherapy, and now after 2 years I am only going up for like recent bone marrow tests and blood tests and things like that.
And do you come down just for the day? Is it with your mother or father?
Yeah.
Tell us about the trips. Had you been to Dublin that much before now?
Well, to see my granddad, like, yeah.
He's but, here in Dublin?
Yeah.
And tell us about visiting Crumlin.
Well, you'd never get a space in the car park. You'd always have to go look for a car park spot, and while Mommy went and did that, while I made my way up to the ward, and then, you know, I'd tell them my name, go on in, get a good spot. She's as red as roses, eyes are only blue. Dancing, dancing, she pierced me through and through. She fairly won my fancy, and she stole away my heart. Jogging along to Claddy on the sour milk cart. Jogging along to Claddy on the sour milk cart.
PPI Radio Awards 2012. Category F3, Full Service Station of the Year. RTE Radio 1.